Welcome back, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the brand new episode of All Gas, No Trash. My name is Josh, here today with good buddy Adam.
Yes, hello, greetings.
We've got a sweet, well, I don't know if it's sweet, but we got an album review for you today.
There is an album review today.
And, but before we get into that, let's all take this time to just recognize our typical, usual thing, the Game Rage, or, well, it's All Gas, No Trash, No Curse Minute, brought to you by Game Rage Magazine. And where we can't say any curse words for the first minute, which is extremely difficult for all of us, especially me. So,
I feel like I'm hearing the theme song still.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't turn it down all the way. Oh, there it goes. Ah, whatever. It's fine. That'll add to the no curse minute, you know? No. It's just slightly in the background.
It will be acceptable for now because there's no point in going back.
Yeah, hey, we made it through the no curse minute, so we're not going back. We only re-record.
We're doing it raw.
Yeah,
we fucked up. It's all good.
It's fine. Whatever.
We'll live.
All right. So, album review today.
Right.
Who I've never heard of this, but who are you? Who are we talking about today? Who are we going to be reviewing?
Okay, so we're going to review Mama Larky's Hex Key album, which is their first release after having signed with Epitaph Records. A quite notable record label for punk.
Yeah.
But it seems like they've kind of opened themselves up. And it's been a while since I've actually paid attention to them. But, you know, they're famous for more of the recent signees, I guess, of note would be the Linda Lindas and a band called Deathlens. Mama Larky are now one of the more recent ones. And this is their first release, but they have three total albums that they've released
previously.
Okay. Yes,
so this is their fourth
album. No, this is their in total, including this one.
Well, that's why I said previously three albums.
No,
you said they've released three albums.
Three albums in total,
and then you said yes, and I was like, okay,
including this one, so it's three. Okay, in total, right, not four.
All right,
yeah.
I'm just trying to clarify,
yeah,
for those of us that don't know who or what the fuck a Mama Larky is.
Yeah, right? So previously, they were on this record label called Fire Talk Records, and I think that record label was out of the UK. I can't remember. It's in Europe. I just don't know where, but
Europe.
Really strange that they started with a record label in Europe and not somewhere here in the US, considering that they're from the US.
Yeah, well, you know, good timing on their part, because now they don't have to pay tariffs on their albums.
So. Yeah, right. I'm not going to pretend that I'm the biggest Mama Larky fan, so this is probably going to be as objective as you can get. Mm-hmm. I, out of all the times that I've listened to them, I still don't know whether I like this band. So this third fucking album is going to be
make or break. This is
it. It's make or break.
If this is mid or lower, you're out.
Right. So it's, as I would say, probably, yeah, like you were saying, it's make or break for me. I don't know what to expect from this album. I'm kind of flustered with them to this point, and I'm probably sure I'm going to be as confused as ever. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I've never heard of them before at all up to this point. So I guess we'll see.
Right.
So anyways, was that all the lore you had on?
There's Mama not Larky? Much. I mean, I'm not going to spend any more time talking about the band members because I barely care to review this album.
damn, what a way to start it off.
I know that
I sounds barely care enough,
yeah,
to review this, but yet here we are.
Yes, because it's something that came out. I'm like, yeah, all right, let's give it a shot. Let's see what they do. Let's see what Epitaph Records, if they injected their own influence on the band and had some producers associated with them.
That'd be interesting to see.
It's like, oh, hey, you guys got something here, but you need to
turn up a little.
We need to clean up the edges on your project because it's not quite where we want it to be or where we think you could be. And maybe that'll change the whole course of Mama Larky's trajectory. So that's all I got to say. So,
all right. Well, fucking A, let's just get right up into it and fire up your Googles, your Spotify's, your Apple Music's, your fucking old school phonographs, and put on Mama Larky, Hex Key. And we're going to start with, I will say, I like the album art. it's literally just a hex key. Like,
dude, it's so minimalistic. It's a red background with
just a hex key.
At a weird angle.
Yeah. Why is it cockeyed? Why isn't it fucking? I don't know. That is hilarious, though.
I don't know, man.
I will say this.
It's uninspired as fuck.
Minimalism has ruined everything.
Yes, it did. Right? Yeah, I believe
it's funny because, like, I feel like if they are, like, trying to be punk-ish, that's a very punk maneuver. It's like, fuck you, here's my album. It's just a hex key. It's like if I had an album and called it Raccoon, and it was just a picture of a raccoon. But I don't know. Anyways, all right. First track on the album, Broken Bones. Let's get it up, fire it up. Here we go. Hey, wait a minute. I thought you said they were from Georgia, and then they came to L.A.
They came to L.A.?
Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
They're from this thing says the Austin Band. Like, they're from Austin, Texas.
Oh, they're from Austin, Texas? So they've relocated.
What the fuck, like five times?
They relocated like 1,000 times.
Dang, dude.
And at this point, I lost track, and I don't give a shit anymore.
All right.
Yeah. I'll let the fucking lore keepers of Mamalarkey correct that in the comments.
They can let us know what the real deal is, because now I don't even know.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, here we go. Track number one, Broken Bones. All right, that was track number one off of Mamalarkey's newest album, Hex Key. That was Broken Bones. All right, opening riff, opening track. What do you got to say about that there, you good first. Buddy? Oh, me first? I'd say that wasn't bad. I mean, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. That was a good song. I felt like that was a good way to start it off. It is very, very poppy. That is like super, that la, 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 like super poppy, but it's not in a bad way. It's just very poppy. I like that song. I thought it was a great way to start the album. That little, like that, the drumming in the background was, it had this weird distortion to it, but I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
Cowbell, as you said, you know.
There was something about the vocals too that sounds like somebody singing at the end of a pipe.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. There was cowbell.
Yep.
I wonder if this song is about, you know, we're starting off with the first track, so it's not something we could pick up on immediately about what the album is about. But if I took a guess, and since we do have fun here with interpretations of songs, I feel like there's kind of like an Icarus thing going on, as wild as that can be. But maybe the Icarus in this situation is like being in a band and you're flying real high. And it's like you have all these people telling you you're fucking great and everything.
Yeah.
And then, but you're not making all that money. It's like, you know, everybody's asking, where's the money when you're in a band? It's like, oh, you're getting featured on all these articles and shit. And you're getting all these publicity, PR things going for you, but where's the fucking money? And you know, this whole thing about never sharing your feelings, it's because you're afraid of judgment too. Like that, you know, as high as you're flying, you're also equally afraid of being judged for being an artist, because you are being that vulnerable and that exposed and all that stuff, as being a public figure and even as a creative person. What do you have to say about that? What thoughts do you have?
I mean, yeah, there is the possibility that this could be love related or whatever. I really hope not. But what I think is that I reading more into it with the name of the album Hex Key, Broken Bones. It's like the Icarus theme, as you talked about, falling out of the sky. It's like you're a fallen angel or whatever, right? But it's like maybe referring to their past with this other record label or whatever that they were with, and now it's like, fuck man, like I fell out of the sky, like I flew too close and like these fuckers screwed me or whatever, and now I had to go somewhere else. And then it's like, oh man, like I can't let my feelings show whenever people come around, because like I can't let them see how I really feel on the inside.
Yeah, you only need to see me when I'm winning.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like Hex Key may be like, oh, this is the Hex Key to success, or the Hex Key to like, oh, that's what opens
like
the door.
Fine-tuning yourself, or like tightening things up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which would make sense for like a band, like tightening things up, getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's speculating. But
speculating, yeah.
So just to quickly note, we have Livy Bennett on vocals and guitar. Then we have Michael B. Hunter on keyboards and percussion, Dylan Hill on drums, and Noor Khan on bass, just so we can get that out of the way. Since we didn't get to do that in the introduction. Mm. So let's go ahead and move on to the next track, which is
Won't Give Up.
Right.
Track number two. Here we go. Track number two. All right, that was track number two, Won't Give Up. I definitely think this is a self-biographical type album here. That's the meaning behind this, because a lot of the stuff that they said in that song seems to be about their journey or related to it.
Yes, it's a very interesting choice to be self-aware in music, or to do this on this specific album, to break the fourth wall. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think that aspect of this storytelling element is extremely interesting. And also that whatever that, I don't know if it's like an organ or whatever in the background, like during the chorus, and it's like distorted. I mean, it sounds like it's probably like done on a synthesizer, but it sounds like it's an organ. Like, you remember like the old Take Me Out to the Ball Game played on like the organ? Like, it sounds like an organ. And that's cool. Like that weird distortion.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to give bonus points, man, because they fit in a Flat Earth fucking reference on this.
Where?
It was right here where it says, "Better hit the ground while I'm still around. World be flat or round." Fucking. That was a nice little. That was cool, man. That was a cool little fucking flat Earth conspiracy theory reference that I am in favor of. That was fun. So.
Anything else said?
I enjoyed the song, man. I thought this was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I thought that it also, so far, both of these songs have been under 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that.
Yeah.
Don't fuck about and make me sit here for 9.5 minutes and get to the point.
I'm like bitch ass LA Witch with their 6 minute tracks.
Oh, Jesus. And they all the same.
It was one.
Yeah, but then the next song sounded the exact same. Yeah. But anyways, this is so far so good. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
I love the storytelling in this particular song to talk about what many artists go through about not, you know, making their music for the sake of making art. But it is a bit ironic that they're making this album and saying these things when they're fucking on Epitaph Records, dude. Because it's like, sure, they're not a Universal Music Group, or they're not fucking Sony Music or anything like that, like the big three. I can't remember what the third one is, but. But we're not talking about Epitaph Records as a small fish, man. They're like Sub Pop is like Nirvana, Beach House. Everybody knows the big hitters on Sub Pop, right? They're kind of a big deal. But in Epitaph Records, when it comes to punk, and I guess things now it seems they're opening themselves up to more stuff. But it's just weird when they're talking about keep preserving their shit, but also being on fucking Epitaph Records. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Who knows what their deal is? I mean, they're talking about like, oh, it can't be sold, and this is our shit, basically. But, you know.
It's not to say that selling out means going to Epitaph Records, right? I'm not trying to say that. It's just, it's funny when they say those things and, you know, Fire Talk Records, I don't even know who the fuck that is, like their record label, right? Their previous record label?
Yeah.
I know Epitaph Records, so what does that say about them?
Well, yeah.
But anyways.
Well, say that means that they made it, I guess, right?
In some way, in one manner or another.
They didn't sell out, they bought in.
And I love the fact that they're talking about how their journey is much like everybody else's, where they think they got to go west. It feels like, dude, it kind of feels like some John Steinbeck shit.
Yeah.
Like, Grapes of Wrath type of thing. It's not exactly the Dust Bowl, but I mean, it might be for artists, but like, you know, they're like, man, there's nothing out here in our scene in the Midwest or fucking in every other part besides the West Coast. So we feel like we got to go to Los Angeles in order to make this work for us. So I like that. I think it's a lot of stories that many artists go through or believe they have to go through. And I just love like these lyrics about not giving up, and also they're not doing it for anybody else but themselves, and they're not going to change anything but for themselves. Just a really cool song, and I enjoyed it, man. This is quite pleasing so far.
Yeah, with the won't give up, attitude. The only thing they were missing was the hustle, loyalty, and respect. Right? That's all.
Only for a late stage Mama Larky heel turn.
Yeah, man. I mean, maybe that's exactly what they need. I don't know.
Man, if only we got those like white noise radio break-ins.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This is the new world of the Mama Larky world order, brother.
Anyways. All right. Let's get to the next track. Track number 3, The Quiet. Here we go. All right, that was track number 3, The Quiet. What the fuck was that? I didn't like that one.
You didn't like it?
Dude, that was weird, man. Okay, first of all, that clinking, that noise, whatever the fuck that, it sounded like a cuckoo clock and machinery. And that, like, the inside of my brain feels weird now. I don't know if that was meant to do that.
Yeah.
But that was fucking weird, man. The vocals were great. Don't get me wrong. She has a great voice. But that, like, that fucking thing was annoying. And it's like, okay, if you're gonna do that, don't do that noise for 4 fucking minutes, because that started to annoy me a little bit at the end.
Damn.
It was like this weird ASMR thing. I don't know, man. It felt weird. I didn't like it.
Damn. I am of the opposite opinion on this one. I actually really enjoyed it because it felt like the quiet is about being a child and like being stripped of your childhood and wonder, your childlike innocence. And you know, that's an adult taking away those things. Yeah. Like if you're being too rambunctious or things like that. And I think that was portrayed within the audio itself with like a winding fucking toy. Like I thought that was the sound, like a winding toy, or maybe for you it was a clock. And then you have, there's like this keyboard in the background that sounds a lot like, something you would have as a child, like a preschool or play school type of keyboard. And that's probably what they fucking use, something like that. It sounded cool. And, I think it's a song being reminiscent of being a child and then also growing into being an adult. You're like, oh man, now I live in the silence as an adult because everybody told me I couldn't do these things. And it's like, well, shit, no wonder I'm a fucking boring person. And no wonder I could sit in the room and do nothing because like everything that was fun, I was told was stupid, or every possible thing you can hear from an adult, or every, you know, something along those lines. I really enjoyed this track for whatever reason.
I couldn't even surmise what the fuck it was about, because it like activated my almonds or some shit in my mind. Like, I don't know what it was. That noise. I don't know if it's like some, maybe it's like because my grandparents used to have this clock that like sounded like that. And like I just remember getting in trouble for something. Like I broke one of my own toys by accident, and then my grandma beat my ass. And I'm like, but you didn't even pay for this. Like, why are you mad at me? Like,
why are you getting mad at me, bitch?
Yeah, like, so maybe that's why it just activated some kind of weird. And I'm not taking away, because honestly, the music's supposed to make you feel shit. It's making me feel shit.
It is, yeah.
Dude, I just couldn't get past that noise. It was like, holy shit.
I'm just going to tell you right now, dude. I feel like we're going to get, so far, of the three songs that we heard, the two starting tracks, I'm like, this is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Mama Malarkey does this thing where they go on the avant-garde shit.
Yeah.
And it gets weird. So, like,
I think that's where we're headed.
I don't know when that's going to come into play, but for you, it was this
track. I think it was this. This is for sure.
I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't that.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed what they did. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's cool. And I'm not saying, I don't know, I'm not saying that it was bad in general, but it's just that that noise just fucking took me out of it and, like, put me in a different fucking mindset, I guess. I don't know, man.
I feel like you're gonna have a PTSD flashback.
I think I might.
Oh, crap, don't beat my ass.
No, man, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Anyways, all right. Well, let's move on to the next track, which is seemingly the title track, Hex Key. That'll be track number what? This 4? Yeah, track number 4. Here we go. Let's see if it continues to just go weird and get off the rails. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Here we go. All right, that was track number 4, Hex Key. I think it's funny that this is the title track, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't even refer to the item that they were referring about as a hex key. They referred to it by its other name, an Allen wrench. So, like, I don't know if that was on purpose.
It's like Christopher Nolan with calling the Catwoman cat burglar.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's like,
it's with being on the nose without being on the nose.
Yeah, it's well, or it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know where I'm going.
It's the art of subtlety.
Yeah, but I just thought that was funny. Yeah, I mean, that song was okay. I don't know. if this is starting to fall off the rails. I will say this. I appreciate that they kept it under 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I definitely think that, like, that last song, over 4 minutes, no dice. You need to wrap this shit up. Wrap it up. All right, you need to keep this shit under 3 minutes. I think that's a sweet spot for them.
Dude, I love the euphemism for a penis. Like,
oh, yeah.
Through all your challenges, fix with your Allen wrench.
Allen wrench, yeah.
That's how I'm interpreting it, is that it's a metaphor for a penis that they're, because it is talking about finding somebody. And that, you know, this is the pinnacle. This wasn't in the script.
Maybe that's what the hex key is. Maybe this album is just called cock. Like, maybe it's a hex key, but it's actually a picture of a
dick. Because, you know, like the other end of it, it's like you're filling somebody's hole in more ways than one. Like their soul, but also, you know, vagina. And you're stuffing somebody with your Allen wrench.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, your Allen wrench is, it's the key. It's the solving of all problems, all right?
Yeah.
You could solve anything with your dick.
Yeah.
All right? You get into a fight, whip your dick out.
Yeah.
Fight over. No one wants to fight a dude with his dick out.
Yeah,
okay?
Nobody wants to fight somebody that's butt naked, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you might get dick in your face.
And then you look like the bad guy, all right?
Yeah.
So.
Not the hole that you expected.
But correct, yeah, yeah.
But the one you needed. this is a really interesting track. It kind of reminds you of, like, some Portishead shit. I don't know, man. Did I love it? No, I'm not really in the loving it camp.
Yeah. It's all right.
I think it was cool.
Yeah.
There's novelty in their music. Like,
right.
And sometimes that goes a long way, and sometimes it could, I'm not sure at what point they're going to fucking flip the switch and get me to the point where I'm going to say, oh no, this is not okay.
I feel like it's coming soon.
Yeah.
I feel like this will fall off the rails soon enough, but it's okay. Maybe we're wrong. I don't love this. I don't hate it though. It's all right. You know, so far, not bad. All right. Let's get into the next track, which is track number 5. And fuck, what? Here we go. This song's going to be crazy. I'm already telling you right now. This is what's going to fall.
What's it called?
Anhedonia.
I don't even know what the word. What if the H is silent? What if it's anhedonia?
Anhedonia. Wait, hold on a sec. I'll Google this real quick just to find out if this is actually a word.
All right. You go ahead and do that.
Anhedonia.
It better be a word, because it may not be bullshitting us.
Anhedonia. It means the inability to feel pleasure. Oh, see? It is a dick. This album is about dicks. That's all it's about. It's dicks. It's wiener.
Oh man, I found one of those Godzilla videos. I hope I bookmarked it on Instagram. It's quality stuff, man.
Oh yeah, man. All right. Well, let's hear about Anhedonia. Track number, what did I say this was, 5?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's roll it up.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does. All right. That was track number 5, Anhedonia. You know, I think this song actually has so far the most commercial value.
I think so too.
Out of anything we've listened to on this album so far. I imagine in the next Netflix Adam Sandler rom-com that comes up, this is the song that plays like when he gets dumped and he's like, it's the montage of the aftermath. He's sitting on the couch. He's eating out of a tub of ice cream. Fucking he's sitting out in the rain, literally getting poured on. You know, maybe he's like jerking off on the computer. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
That song would be perfect for that. And that song tops on the commercial value.
Yeah, I think this is the strongest track that we've heard on the album. I don't think this was a single, because there was, I think, 3 or 4 singles that were released for this album, and this was not one of them. I'm like, this is what a miss, like, to have this song be one of the leading singles for this album, because I think this is the best track that's on the album. And narrative wise, it looks like there is something of a story going on, as we've noted already in the previous tracks. This is somebody that is like highly neurotic of themselves. You know, they're critiquing themselves as they're fucking making music. Very much the artist experience, right? Like, they think everything they do is fucking garbage.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if I'm like mistaken, but I'm getting the impression that this Michael B. Hunter person is in a relationship who's doing the, Michael B. Hunter is doing the keys and the drums. And I'm guessing he's probably in a relationship with this Livy Bennett, person. that is the doing the vocals and the guitar. I think they're actually putting on their fucking relationship on full display. This seems like autobiographical to talk about. I think the downsides of, as she's saying in her own song, she's like, dude, I'm kind of hard to deal with, and I can't believe you're still here, and I don't have any friends, and I'm not even sure if this music thing's gonna work out, but hey, let's make this third album, let's see what happens, and see if it's our ticket out of here.
Yeah.
And it solves all our problems. It's probably not, but you know, I love this song. I thought it was the best track on the album.
Yeah, so far I agree. Ugh. Anyways, all right, let's get the next track, which we heard like the first second of because I accidentally played it. But number one, best of all time. This is track number 6. I don't know, man. Let's see how this goes. Let's see how this shakes out.
What if this album's about suicide? Because she's like, because knowing how self-conscious she is at this point, it's like number one, best of all time, and it's about seppuku.
Yeah, maybe. All right, here we go. Let's find out. Track number 6. All right, that was number, what did I say, 6? Number one, best of all time. I do think that song also has huge commercial value right there.
You think so? Oh, dude,
I think so.
I'm not going to say I hated this track, but it was fucking weird. And this is like, for me, this is like typical of Mama Larky.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it.
All right. Okay. Think about this under this light as I'm going to paint it. Don't you think that this would be fucking perfect if they wouldn't have fucked up the Cowboy Bebop live action on Netflix and they'd be making a second season? This song would be like, this sounds like that shit. This sounds like it's in that realm of like that backing track beat. And like, that sounds like that could be in Cowboy Bebop, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm
just saying that right there, I think is very doable.
Okay, what I do like about the track,
or anime, I think.
Even for the skepticism I have about the track, here are the things that I enjoy. So it looks like at the midpoint of the album, roughly, it feels like they're having a turning point within their own self-esteem and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're shooting for the moon for their own careers and music. And even if they feel like they're failing, they're at least like way above 99% of other people, because most people don't even try or even.
Right.
I like that. I like this story that they're painting, and it seems more personal to this woman. It's not the whole band. It feels like it's kind of exclusive to this Livy Bennett person, right?
Yeah.
But the other things I did enjoy about this track were that fucking bass line was groovy as fuck.
Groovy. Yeah.
And then the drum kit sounds really fucking good. Like, however they track that, it just sounds fucking rad. The song is just weird, man. But what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, I agree. The song is, it's weird, especially when you compare it to what has previously happened with the five tracks before it.
Yeah.
This is a far different tone than those tracks. So, yeah, if you were expecting more of that shit, and now all of a sudden this curveball gets thrown in, I can see that. Now it's starting to change up the tone and the shift of the album, and maybe it is, or maybe this is just a one-off and it's going to go back to that.
You know what it might be for me is that their music is kind of, or of the songs that I think are strange, it's atypical of like what I would expect in a chorus.
Yeah.
And it's notes or melodies that are not in the major variety, the major chord variety. Yeah, yeah. So they're either on like the minor chord or like they're a half step down, and they sound strange. And I can't tell if I'm going to critique that because it's weird, or I'm not. Like, I don't know where I fall in that camp.
Yeah. Or if you're going to like it because it is unique. Because there's two ways to look at it. It's different and weird.
Yeah.
Or it's unique and cool.
Yes, it has. There's a novelty to it, but I just don't know where I fall on it.
I can see why people like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see why Epitaph was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, we could do something with this.
But if I had to be honest, and this is probably going to suck for them to hear this, I would ask more for more tracks that sound like Anhedonia.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like that's where I would. And maybe that makes me an asshole, but that's what I think would be a selling point for the band if they evolved more into that. But this track, I mean, All
right. Well, let's get into track number 7.
Yeah.
Take Me. Take me. No, I don't know if that's how it's going to go, but here we go. Let's see. Let's find out. Track number 7. All right, that was track number 7, Take Me. What do you got for this one there, fella?
Oh, man. So I have something. Man, I feel like a band named Pearl and the Oysters should take notes on this song. I feel like they, I think Mama Larky did them better than them. And this track, I don't know, for whatever reason, it, despite what the lyrics say otherwise, this track reminded me, I don't know if it's because of the sound of the keys itself that it reminds me of that pinball shit from Sesame Street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then there was like that warbly bass in the background and, you know, the keys and shit. It, I don't know, man. I got like Sesame Street vibes from the shit, like 70s Sesame Street.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the lyrics themselves, it looks like it's relatively simple about, you know, missing and longing for somebody that, you know, you just went on a long ass tour. You're going to be spending some time apart and you already missed them. It's, you know, relatively simple. I also think it's kind of a gamble to be in a relationship with somebody in a band, especially this part about, because we're destined, it's our fate, please. And I'm like, dude, what if it doesn't work out? Like, and you're saying these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's scary.
And then like, if you guys are still in the band, right? Yeah. Like, what happens then, man? I mean, yeah. That could be the killer of the whole thing's over. Everybody loses because
the whole kielbasa, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know. That song, I did get like those
spacey. It's like spacey. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It was like Sesame Street in space.
Yeah.
Like, I guess is the best way to put it. That would have been like that song. Sesame Moon, or I don't know, Sesame Space.
You know, I really don't understand, and I don't mean to sound like an asshole, but I really don't understand like why you guys opt to be in relationships while you're in a band, because it feels like you're doubling down. Like, you're putting a lot on fucking not only winning, but also for the relationship to also persevere.
Well, remember, it's this whole thing we've talked about before of you know, like dating in the workplace, all right? You don't shit where you eat, okay? Like, that's like got to be rule number one.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that we have seen that, like, there's a lot of bands where like that is not, they do not give a fuck. They are just, artists just get in bed with each other literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do what you want, I guess.
Huge gamba.
Yeah, huge gamba. All right. Let's get on to the next track, which will be track number 8. it's just called MF.
Motherfucker, and I'm guessing.
It's E for explicit on the thing, so hopefully it is.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, here we go. Track number 8. All right, that was track number 8, MF. Motherfucker, clearly, obviously. that's how I was all right. I do think that, I don't know, maybe if she was dating somebody at that other record label before, and now this is like the fuck you song about that, because this is clearly like some kind of a breakup song.
I either thought it was about Donald Trump, or this was
about... I think it's a breakup song. But
it was either about the president, or it was about somebody at Fire Talk Records.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think that's who it was about, somebody at Fire Talk Records. That's exactly what I think it was.
And that's maybe why they opted to go with the Epitaph Records. They're like, fuck it.
I will say this, though. All right, I was looking it up because I was just trying to see if I could find any information on the internet about this Libby Bennett, right? And it's very funny, on the Wikipedia page, they found the bassist because she put out a call to musicians or whatever on Tinder. All right. Like,
damn.
Didn't use Instagram or TikTok.
Not Craigslist.
Tinder. All right. That's pretty funny.
That's cool.
That's pretty funny. So anyways.
All right. I do have to know. So up until I did check on Spotify, because usually, and they would include it in the music itself. As far as like producer credits and stuff,
yeah,
this album is entirely them. There's no outside influence. The only thing I imagine Epitaph Records is maybe, or whatever they did, as far as music goes, it's zero. It's all them. So there's no influence from Epitaph Records. They really got to do whatever they wanted to do. So this track was, it was okay. They're showing a lot of different sides of themselves. I felt like number one best of all time was like jazz fusion, some jazz shit. They've given this like the indie rock sound, and they've given us other shit. They've definitely not pinned them. They haven't pinned themselves into one genre, which is good because they kind of like flex their muscles in different things. And I mean, not everything's a hit. I mean, I can't say everything's a hit, but for the most part, I like the fact that they're, you know, expanding their sounds even well into what is this track number 8 now that we're going to be working our way towards. This album is like, I think this is the best album that they put out so far currently, but there's definitely some misses on this album still.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's a couple good songs. There's a couple songs I didn't like so far, but I mean, whatever. I guess we'll keep going and see what's up. So let's get into the next track, which is track number 9, Blow Up. Here we go. All right, that was track number 9, Blow Up. I think we're starting to fall off the rails a little.
This track wasn't necessary. Seems like they're making it known that they're hard to deal with. They're kind of, I don't know if they're antisocial or what. Just an oddball, and
maybe they have activated almonds at all time. I don't know.
But the line, I will say, man, Libby Bennett, who I'm guessing is writing these lyrics, she has cheeky lyrics. Because I love this line about, I'm a smiley face that has two dots and a line. Like, I don't know why that caught my fancy, but you know, I don't want to criticize somebody for adding songs unless they're not necessary. And this one felt to me as an uninspired, half-baked fucking song, and it wasn't necessary.
Yeah. I can go with that.
This is a miss for me.
Yeah, I agree. Not the biggest fan. Cheeky lyrics was like, there was that one line in there that I thought was good too. Everyone's in italics, but I'm bold. All right. Like,
yeah.
That's cheeky. That's very cheeky. It's enjoyable. But that's just one line in the song. Like, you know, overall, meh. All right. Let's move on to track number 10, Blush. Here we go. Oh, Christ. It's almost 4 minutes long. All right. Here we go. All right, that was track number 10, Blush. Well, otherwise known as It's a Me, Waluigi. I feel like that was like a Bizarro Mario kind of song.
Dude, that was fucking cool.
It was. I enjoyed it. I thought it was sweet. Yeah. Except at the end, when it went, as you said, I thought it was about 7 seconds too long. And I think that's some of that avant-garde shit I think that you were talking about. Because they do this on every fucking song. Where it we don't need to hear everything tuned down for 15 seconds. Just fucking end the song, all right? Just get it over. We already know it's done. Just fucking get it over with. But that being said, I really enjoyed that song. I thought that was cool.
That dude, it reminded me of like some Yoshi's Island. There's this level where these fuzzy like balls, if you hit them, you get really high. And it makes a song weird. But before it even gets weird, the theme within that level is, it sounds something like this. And then when it gets all crazy, when it starts speeding up, it's like, oh man, Mama Larky hit the fucking star power. Like, it was pretty rad. And as far as like the lyrics go, it seems like it's about personifying love within a flame or like a creature of the night, and that you're tending to it and making sure it's okay. And not really sure like if how long it's gonna last, but you know, it's like a fucking puppy. You like it,
or it's about having a Yoshi. All right, yeah. Like literally the raising of a young Yoshi from an egg to, you know, maturity, and then putting him to death at the end, and just letting him know, hey man, oh, you're dying, but I'll be here. So what, you know, I'll be here to keep you warm, Yoshi. All right,
all right. Apparently, there's some bastard named Turtle. So we've talked about the other four members, but there's a fifth member. His name's Turtle, or their name is Turtle, and it says background vocals and percussion. So I don't know.
I don't know what that means, but...
Anyways, great track.
Yeah.
When the song exploded towards the end and they just go on a whole solo thing, that shit was pretty cool. And this is like, this is opposite of LA Witch when they indulged in themselves and just went all out. And this one worked for me.
Yeah.
So
Agreed. All right. Let's move on to track number 11. Almost, we're in the home stretch here.
Home stretch.
Nothing lasts forever. This is just, nothing lasts forever. Here we go. Let's see. All right. That was track number 11. Nothing lasts forever. Another enjoyable track.
That was a banger.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, I really like this track, especially because of that. But I imagine it's a synthesizer and they're like creating that like psychedelic effect. Yeah. And then that cool guitar the cool guitar riff in the background. I fucking love that. And then you have the wow. It felt like we just ate one of those fuzzy balls from Yoshi's Island. Yeah. And things are starting to get weird, but it's weird in a good way. And I think it's like an acid version of the previous song.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I wanted to add about the previous song Blush is it had like bossa nova chords, or at least that's the impression that I had. Really fucking like that. Just had to say that real quickly. Nothing lasts forever, dude. I think it's one of the better tracks. I don't know if it's as good as Anhedonia, but it's right up there.
It's pretty damn good. Pretty good. Pretty enjoyable.
My favorite part about this song is in the towards the beginning when it says, "Life is flashing past my eyes. I'm seeing you there sometimes. Every good book needs a bind. At least I can say I tried." And then you get to this part where it says, "Nothing lasts forever. Except for you and me waking up together, you can read between the sheets, man. Like sheets of paper in a book, and then reading between the sheets when you're fucking, man. That's some great lyrics right there."
Yep, that are some great fucking lyrics. I agree.
Banger.
Good, enjoyable banger, as Adam puts out. All right, let's move on to the next song, which is track number 12, Feels So Wrong. Here we go. All right, that was track number 12, Feels So Wrong. How'd you feel about that one?
Feels So Wrong. this was an okay track. I didn't love it. It did feel like one of those tracks that they just felt like they threw in. Lyrically, it seems like this is somebody showcasing their neuroticness, I guess, and saying that you know, even in adulthood they're not sure about anything. And I don't know about like the first part of the verses where it says, "I've never been original. My given name is Olivia. I just changed it when I was a child to say you will remember me anyways." That's saying that she changed her name to Libby. She's like so unoriginal that she just changed it slightly. You're gonna remember me as Olivia anyways. Like, what? I don't know. I don't know what the song's really about, but it seems like it's just if there were something to take away, in my opinion, that it's like, man, even as a fucking adult, I don't know everything. I have to pretend like I do when I don't.
Yeah, true. But. Yeah, that song was all right. I mean, it was okay. I guess we'll see how they end this with track number 13.
Mm-hmm. You know what I have to criticize them for is that there's some tracks where they just, I don't know if they, obviously they're capable of making a good chorus, right?
Yeah.
But they're not capable of doing it consistently.
Right.
And this was one of those times where I felt like it wasn't a good chorus.
Wasn't it? Yeah, wasn't it? All right, well, let's see how they end it with track number 13. Here's Everything. I guess they're laying it all out for us.
That sounds like somebody like going like this.
Oh, here it is. I turned it in.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Track number 13. Here's Everything. All right, that was the final track. Track number 13. Here's Everything. And to me, it was absolutely nothing. Here's Everything, but here's nothing at the same time. That bad way to end it. I have been left with a sour taste in my mouth now at the end of this.
Oh, man. It was not how I wanted this to end. I mean, it does have that sentiment or feeling that we're winding down and this is the end of the album. And it looks to be about somebody that they're in love with or whatever. And they just want them to, you know, they want to lift up their spirits. They want to be there when they're in their down times. Nothing really significant as far as like lyrics go. Kind of like run of the mill shit that you would say to somebody. I guess within a song about like,
you know, caring for somebody else, but Here's Everything just feels like a song that's being shoved. You're like, here's the fucking end. You know, somebody's pushing a stack of papers, like their homework, their research paper, like, I'm fucking done with this. And it feels like obligatory more than like, oh man, this is like, I don't know how to phrase it, but it's, yeah, it just feels like an obligation more than like, oh, this was a privilege to end this fucking album. I hope you enjoy. Instead of like open palms like this, it felt like
pushing it towards you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That was a bad.
Yeah, that was a miss. That was a hard miss on that one. Yeah. All right. So let's go to 43. Let's call it 45-40. We'll call it the final thoughts and review or 45. Score, I guess. Yeah, 45-40. And so overall, with encompassing everything, what do you rate this on the All Gas No Trash rating scale?
Well, shit, man. This was a lot better than what I expected. I got to give them a lot of bonus points for the lyrics. The instrumentation was pretty fucking decent throughout the album. Some of the production choices, there was a track that I didn't really like how the drums sounded, but I mean, there was cool effects. There was like the wobbly keys. The bass sounded great on that number one Best of All Time, and the drums, that shit was spectacular. There was some really stellar tracks with Anhedonia, which I think was by far the best track. It had a nice little string of songs that went back to back with Blush and Nothing Lasts Forever, Blow Up and Blush, I think, were the two tracks that played nicely back to back together. I'm not going to bother trying to remember what two or three tracks I thought were trash, like that they could have been cut from the album. But if you go back and listen, you'll know which tracks we're talking about. There's three tracks I think for sure they could have cut from the album, and this probably would have gone higher in score if they had opted to make this like a 10 song album, excluding the songs that I'm referring to. I got to give this, all things considered, I give it a seven.
Yeah, and I do agree with you 100%. I think that three track, this should have been could have been a 10 track album, probably would have done better as far as my score goes. I can honestly say with all of the pluses and all of the minuses factored in, this album is squarely a seven. Like, it's a seven on the dot. I was, when we were listening to that string of tracks in the middle.
Dude, I was thinking eight.
Yeah, I was at an eight, yeah, for sure. I was thinking maybe eight, and if this continues, we may even go to 8.5 or 9. Mm. But then it just fucking
fell off. Yeah, it fell off.
So, it's a squarely a seven. It's, overall, it's an enjoyable listen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not horrible. And do I think that anyone who doesn't know Malarkey is going to, do I think anyone who doesn't know who Mama Larkey is listens to the, do I think they're going to go and go out and get into this? I would say probably not.
I think they would. I think if they need a gateway, I think Anhedonia is a track they start with. Sure. And then when you get to the deeper cuts, like number one, and even though number one Best of All Time was a single, that feels like a deep cut on an album that maybe not a lot of people will enjoy. But for the fans, like that's something you have to warm up to. And I think there's three tracks. There's Blush. What was the other one? Nothing Lasts Forever. Blow Up.
Blow Up, yeah.
Blow Up, Blush, and Anhedonia were like the three tracks I would say are the best. And then Good were Broken Bones. And then, of course, what was that weird one? The Quiet. Hexkey.
Yeah,
Hexkey are enjoyable. I'd say start with that. And then when you get to the weird tracks, when they start doing the weird shit, that's where it falls off a little bit. So 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
pretty solid. Their best attempt at an album, number 3. I'm in for whatever they do for their fourth album with Epitaph Records. I'm definitely fucking in. This was a substantial improvement from their first two albums.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Adam is in on Mamalarkey. Anyways, well, shit. I guess that ends the episode. Solid 7 out of 10 by the both of us. So go check it out. Go, you know, if you enjoy Mamalarkey, go fucking support them. Go buy the stupid album so Epitaph Records can make money on them.
Oh, yeah, and also report back to us and, you know, fix the timeline. Because Austin, Los Angeles, Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know the order. Come back to us. Give us the lore. And we'll amend it or we'll make it known in the episode.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do a follow-up. We'll just call it Mamalarkey lore.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Well, yeah, let us know what you guys think. I'd be curious to know what anybody else has to say. Also, let us know if you've listened to Mamalarkey before, if this was your first, you know, foray like me into the Mamalarkey.
GG's.
All right. Fuck yourselves.